Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. You can watch this show on Facebook by going to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, and you will see that I am unshaven. It's a Jewish tradition when someone dies to not shave. Shows that you're in mourning. And I'm in mourning for my country. And I know that many of you feel the same way. So come and join me for a special one-hour therapy session as we try to figure out what happened last night, what went wrong, what it means for the future, what we have to do for the future. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and then I'll actually be joining Leslie Marshall in the next hour between 4:20 and 4:50 Eastern Time to talk about this further. Look, the polls were wrong. I thought Hillary was going to win. I know most of you did as well. The good news is she did win. She won more votes than Donald Trump. She got hundreds of thousands more votes than Donald Trump. The bad news is that we don't choose our president by a vote of the majority of Americans. As you well know, according to our Constitution, we use this cockamamie 227-year-old way to elect our president that was designed really to be less democratic. Electoral College was designed to have us choose these. It was actually allowed white men with property would choose people who they trusted, and then they would choose the president. And it was because people like Hamilton and Adams feared direct democracy. Well, that's the system we have, and it's a system that says that even though Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump, and that's undisputed, Donald Trump is the nation's president-elect. I would like to chat with you today about why it happened, what we have to look forward to or not, as the case may be, how we got here and where we go from here. Let's commiserate together. If you don't know who I am, and many of you do, but if you don't, I am a state delegate. I represent Northern Virginia in the Virginia House of Delegates. It's just across the river from Washington, D.C. It is a beautiful old city, a vibrant and fast-growing city, full of diverse, happy people and lots of children and dogs, replete with history and art, great restaurants, and a beautiful waterfront. It is part of Blue America. We're growing so fast that, we have insufficient affordable housing. A champagne problem, to be sure. Part of the perils of living in such a desirable, wonderful place. Meanwhile, in rural America, globalization and outsourcing have taken a terrific toll. There's been a steep decline in manufacturing, coal mining, and just can't make a living family farming anymore. The agribusinesses have taken over. Now, many of these declines are due to Republicans helping corporations take jobs abroad, incentivizing them to take jobs abroad, encouraging them to close factories in America the way, oh, President-elect Donald Trump has consistently done, making his ties in vodka all around the world, but not in the United States. And he'd be the first to tell you that he doesn't do things because he cares about people. He does it because he wants that tax cut. And these policies have encouraged him to go abroad. Now, some of the harm in our rural communities is done because in time, an economy automates more and more and more. This has always been true. In the late 19th century, you can read all kinds of odes to village blacksmiths, upset because the village blacksmith had to close his doors. What was the village blacksmith doing? Well, the blacksmith works with metal and creates horseshoes. And with those damn horseless carriages, well, the horseshoe business was kind of out of luck. Today, rural America is losing to automation in other ways, computer automation. Coal companies bombing mountains. Used to be they'd hire thousands of coal miners to do a dirty, dangerous job, but one that people had pride in. But now they just bomb the mountains, and you don't need thousands of workers for that. You just need a few to set up the TNT. They blame liberals and those of us who want green energy, but the real truth is the coal industry has been hemorrhaging jobs for decades now. So in vast swaths of rural America, there are ghost towns. The population is plummeting. Everyone's moving to my town of Alexandria, Virginia, and perhaps your city or town. When Donald Trump talks about inner cities and violence, well, he hasn't been to many lately, has he? You would think. I mean, he lives in New York City. Is Fifth Avenue, where the Trump Tower is that an inner city? Our inner cities are doing well in America, in many places, in most places. Certainly my city is doing very well, extremely well, much better than rural America, where people have no jobs oftentimes, or very few jobs. Oftentimes they work for the government, which they apparently resent. And young people leave. They know there's no future in their little town. They come to the cities. And some that remain suffer from opioid addictions. Donald Trump's dark conspiratorial vision clearly appeals to these people in pain. Now in Virginia, the rural Virginia is represented by Republicans. Cities and suburbs are represented by Democrats. And they're angry at government for not helping them out. And yet it is their very Republican representatives, the ones they vote for cultural reasons, because, well, how did Barack Obama put it and was criticized for it? They love their God and their guns and they hate their gays. Something like that. Cling to their God and their guns. Their Bible and their guns. Coarse phraseology, to be sure. Particularly because Democrats do care about protecting freedom of religion, very much so. And all we want for guns is to take them away from violent felons and terrorists. But you know how these things get translated. All through propaganda. All through the big lie. In any case, they feel ignored by their own Republican representatives that they keep electing again and again for cultural reasons. They're not representing their concerns. And Democrats, well, we represent our urban and suburban districts. We are not elected by rural Americans much anymore. We rarely pay attention to their needs. In fact, one of the bills that I plan to introduce next year in the General Assembly is a bill to bring broadband internet to rural Virginia. Now, there is not a street corner in my district that is rural. I represent the city of Alexandria, parts of Arlington County, Fairfax County. This is built-up area, again, so built up that we're having troubles with affordable housing. Like I said, come to Alexandria sometime. We got great restaurants and art and a wonderful history. We're across the river from a new casino. There's plenty to do in Alexandria, Virginia. And we also have plenty of internet. Maybe not enough, but certainly enough to serve the entire district. No, the bill that I propose is to help rural Virginians who often don't have access to internet, have to rely on a satellite, which is very expensive and not as good, and it's very hard to do business out on the farm, other than farming, if you don't have a good internet connection. I do believe we have to reach out to rural Americans, as I'm doing in Virginia. But let's be honest here. This is a therapy session. The decline in rural America is not the only reason for Donald Trump to take his victory in the Electoral College. Again, he lost in the popular vote. Let's keep remembering that. But why did he get so many votes? Well, you know, no one should ever underestimate the raw power in America of sexism and racism, of xenophobia, hating foreigners and immigrants, of homophobia, hating gays and lesbians and transgendered people, of Islamophobia, believing that all Muslims are terrorists, of anti-Semitism, hating Jews, something that we've seen dramatically on the rise with the rise of Trumpism. Now, we progressives are stunned by this election precisely because these alt-right conspiracy theories and things like bragging about sexual assault, these aren't things we do. We don't consider sexual assault to be locker room talk. We don't consider crazy racist conspiracies like the one that made Donald Trump famous, namely saying that Barack Obama wasn't born in America. These are notions foreign to us. They're foreign to our friends and our neighbors and our family in our lovely blue American cities and suburbs. But we can't underestimate the power of this propaganda. You know, I spent a lot of time on Facebook as the election approached. You know, if you're my friend on Facebook, you saw article after article debunking the alt-right conspiracies, the vicious lies that people made up or told about Hillary Clinton, many of which, by the way, were spread, and this is kind of like conspiracy theory, but I've got a link to it on my website, to some Trumpist trolls. The Russian government, and I can show you several sites that have shown this, had paid a number of people to come on our website. One article I read said that they would post some 45,000 a day, all from this one little village. Were they trying to sow dissension in America, just like the Russian agents that hacked into Democratic emails to try, apparently successfully, to influence the election? Vladimir Putin's very happy tonight. Usually he just knocks over small countries next to him. This is the first time that he was ever to take over an American election, and because we were willing victims, right? Our press reported the results of foreign espionage as if it were true and asked one party and only one party about it, because the espionage was only directed at one party. So I worked really hard on Facebook to combat the big lies. Some of you supported me in that effort, and I want to thank you. And when facts and logic didn't work, and we all know that people who arrive at their opinions through emotion can be dissuaded by logic, many of you helped me with emotional arguments as well. I understand the feeling right now to give up, to move away, to feel helpless. We are stunned at our fellow Americans falling for such an obvious con man. What are your thoughts on the election? What's going through your head right now? Give me a call. Let's have our therapy session. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and my post-election therapy session. I'm going to get to your calls in just a minute at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. As I was saying before the break, there's a tremendous urge right now to give up, right? We are depressed. We are angry. We are sad, right? Many of us said we were going to move away to New Zealand or someplace such like that if Donald Trump became president. But I think it's more the fact that we're stunned at our fellow Americans. We see through the obvious con man. Heck, even Marco Rubio and the other Republicans see him as a con man. Paul Ryan knows he's a con man. They all do. Anyone who has a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of sophistication and maybe a little bit of education sees this is a guy who's used conning his entire life. Right? From Trump University to basically trying to get women to sleep with him and firing them if they don't. That's who he is. That's who he's been his entire life. We can see that. And like when we watch our friend about to walk off a cliff and we scream, "You're walking off a cliff!" And they say, "There's no cliff there." We are afraid. We're also dismayed by the coarseness and lack of humanity we've witnessed. Just the nastiness of a lot of the Trump supporters. Not all. To be fair, not all. I went to every one of my precincts yesterday, and some Trump supporters actually wanted a picture with me. And I'm, you know, I disagree with them strongly, but I'm willing to be nice to people who are nice to me. Some were extremely rude and angry. But in times like these, I think it's useful to remember that we have had it worse. A little bit of perspective sometimes helps. We've had a shaky revolution that almost failed. We had a brutal civil war, brother against brother. We had the lash of slavery, the complete hopelessness of the Great Depression. We've had nasty attacks on immigrants through the Know Nothing Party. We had internment camps for Japanese Americans. We had McCarthyism, some of which appears to be returning. Tough times, but our nation survived. And the difference has largely been grassroots movement. It's sometimes the only way to fight against an entrenched system where all the systems of power are in the hands of people whom you disagree with. I've been involved in grassroots activism for more than 25 years, and many of you I know for much, much longer. Today, I hope you can pledge to join with me to rededicate yourselves to your communities, to fighting back, to not giving up. Remember that we Democrats, we liberals, we Americans who care about each other, we're the majority in America. And yes, they ironically have a rigged system. It's legally rigged. It's the Electoral College. It's gerrymandering. And they may well control the Supreme Court for 50 years and keep gerrymandering. We may end up with nothing left but our voices. Use yours. Don't be silent. You must always stand up for your values. In Virginia, if you're a Virginian, we got an election next year for governor that will help us ungerrymander the state. But wherever you live, lick your wounds, rest up. We got to fight for another day. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll take your calls right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. This is our therapy session, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Carol in Asheville, North Carolina, on line two. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Hi, Mark. This is Carol. I really don't know where to begin except to say that I'm a little past middle age, and this is the first time, and I've had some disappointments in who I've voted for before, but this is the first time I have felt this scared.
Yeah, it's scary.
This is the first time that somebody's got up and been openly fascist,
yeah,
openly full of hate, bigotry, and that's what I put on my Facebook, that hate, bigotry, and fear-mongering itself. Also, I am frustrated. I called you and talk with you one day for a while. I've called the local progressive station. I called another progressive national station. And everyone was trying to dispute the trend I was seeing and saying, oh, no, it's mathematically impossible for him to win. It's statistically impossible. Polls show this, and I have this statement for today, that what people do in the dark, they don't confess it in the light. And I saw this coming about 500 miles away. And I don't know why everybody got so jacked up on polls, because people, when they're hurting or whatever, there's these really, like you said earlier, there's some really horrible elixirs of religion and politics. And I'm happy to go on the radio saying that I am, I guess, what you would call a progressive Christian, because I believe
good for you.
In freedom of religion for everyone, mm-hmm. as long as you're not harming anyone with it.
Right, exactly.
And I will tell you, I just got home from work. The young kids at work are crying. I am crying. I am grieving. And if I could grow a beard, it'd be really huge and bushy right now.
Because you know, Carol...
This is a dark time for freedom.
It is. Let me say this, and it's hard for me to console you when I'm frankly terrified myself. But know this, the majority of Americans did reject this man. And you need to remind your neighbors of that, and you need to remind those who are sore winners about that. This is an ideology that at least the majority of Americans rejected. Now, we have a system whereby he gets to be president, even though his ideology was rejected by the majority of Americans. But in your state, in North Carolina, you got close, almost half. I think it was 47% or so. There are good people throughout America. We have good people throughout America. And we're going to fight back. We're going to speak out. We're not going to allow racism and sexism and homophobia and hatred of immigrants. We're not going to allow that to come back in our country. They're going to promote it, and we're going to fight back against it for always. And so I just think we have to keep calling them out. I don't know what we have left except our voices, but I plan to use mine, and I want to thank you for calling in and using yours. And hang in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do what it takes, but I mean, at what point do we become enemies of the people and we all get rounded up too? I mean, this is a dangerous thing that's going on, and I'm not one to just be like, I have never said this, what I'm saying right now, ever. Ever.
Yeah, you know, we rounded up Japanese Americans in World War II and put them in internment camps. We got to speak out so these things don't happen. And, you know, I don't think Donald Trump actually believes a lot of – he's a con man, right? So
right.
What he does is he doesn't believe any of this stuff. He doesn't know what he believes, right? He can be pro-choice one moment and say put women in jail for having abortions the next. He has no core. He just says whatever helps him. So when he found out that racism and, and Islamophobia was the way to win support – he gave the full KKK rhetoric and got the endorsement of the KKK. So it's not so much President Trump, it's his supporters that we have to fear. And the question is, if they commit violence, will anyone fight against that violence? Particularly we have an FBI who is in the pocket of Trump and, you know, was working actively to disrupt our election and destroy Hillary Clinton. So we've got a lot of problems in America.
Country. That's not, you know, I know, you know, you're trying to be a little bit reassuring, and
yeah.
I'm trying to get off the ledge here.
Yeah, well,
but I'm going to do
what I don't want to. I don't want to give you false hope.
Take a loving, higher ground approach, because I believe that, you know, like I said to a friend of mine the other day who was very worried, you go in a dark room, you turn on the flashlight, the darkness scatters. So, you know,
I agree. Lift up every rock and the cockroaches hide. And all I could say is right now, hug your children, find a puppy. I find puppies cure any kind of sadness, at least for me.
Yeah, mine is a good one. But also, you got to realize Trump is a buffoon. I understand that. He's a con man. I couldn't agree anymore. And I see through all that. But the thing is, he now has a legislature. And
that's right. No, he has no checks or balances. That's exactly right.
They're not buffoons like him. They actually think this is a good idea.
Well, and what's going to be interesting is to watch the bloodletting in the Republican Party because, you know, so here, Barack Obama has this idea 8 years ago. He's going to really invest in our infrastructure. He's going to build roads and bridges. He's got this massive stimulus package. The Republicans voted down. Right. They give him less than half of what he wants. He can only do limited amount of infrastructure. They won't allow him to do all that he wants to do. And then they point at the crumbling bridges and blame Obama. And then Donald Trump says, I'm going to run on fixing infrastructure. Now, my guess is they will give him what he wants. It's a very clear practice. Republicans claim that they're against deficit spending. That's just a load of BS. Their view is when Democrats are president, they don't want deficit spending. When Republicans are president, they run the debt through the roof. We're going to have a massive, massive government debt. And you'll note that every Republican does this. Ronald Reagan did it. Both Bushes did it. You know, that's what they do. They claim they care about deficits only when Democrats are in power because they don't want money going to children's health care. They don't want money going to schools. They don't want money going to giving people a better chance in life. They want money going to their rich donors, right? So it'll be interesting to watch them, you know, completely flip. But they've done it before. They did it on immigration. They used to support immigration reform. John McCain supported that until Barack Obama became president, and then he opposed it. So it's unfortunate. We just don't have enough Americans watching this carefully. And let's face it, it was the non-college-educated Americans that gave Trump the win, including a surprising number of non-college-educated white women, which really surprised me, because I would think that most women would oppose a man who brags about sexual assault. But
well, absolutely. But also, I also want to warn against everybody. I think it's only creating more divisiveness to keep saying college voted for and so-and-so for, you know, the college. I think that is setting a divisive, because I frankly know two very well-educated white women that proudly voted.
Yeah, no. Those college-educated women and men did vote for Donald Trump as well. No question about it. And, it goes back to the darker demons of who we are as a country and our history of racism and our history. And we've never been able to exorcise that demon from American history. It is the story of America. It is, you know, slavery and civil war and racism. There's no more common theme that explains who we are as a country. And you would think that one day we could get past it. But Donald Trump has shown that white power and white nationalism and white supremacy are issues that people feel very strongly about. And, you know, you got Le Pen in Europe, and you've got Vladimir Putin, who encourages these Nazi-like movements, and it's a problem worldwide.
Because folks, they only want freedom for you to be just like them.
That's right.
And they're afraid of, you know, a real peaceful, free society is freaking these people out. They're realizing that gays can now get married.
Right. And why do they care?
The right words for this.
Right. And why do they care? Right. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, these other two people might be happy. I can't allow that. Well, why not?
It is a religious elixir, because actually my God bless his soul, deceased father has the same name as me, Carol so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe the amount of calls I got from the Republicans, even a robocall from Mike Huckabee, who did a real, real big job of saying that Jesus had ordained Donald Trump. And of course, I had to call back to the call number and fill several machines with civic lessons and religious lessons, because I know a lot about the Bible. I've spent a lot of my life in church, in that kind of church.
And there's also the Constitution, which prohibits a religious test for running for office. So it's actually goes both ways. Carol, you're fantastic. I'd love to chat with you all day. I do need to get to other callers.
Mark, I just wanted to call and put
No, I appreciate your call.
I think I feel better now. Thank you so
well,
much.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel better.
My beard off now.
Keep working. Keep working, because we got a lot of work to do. Thanks for your call. Let me go to Maria in Phoenix on line 4. Hey, Maria, how are you?
Hey, Mark, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got a couple of points, and if you don't mind, let me just get them off my chest.
All right, go for it.
I called your radio station about a week ago, and I was kind of that crazy lady at the last part of your show.
So now you have more time because you called earlier. That's good.
Well, yeah. However, you know, right now the reality is that all these people who voted for Trump basically sold their souls to the devil. And the devil's going to come due, number one. Number two, you know,
What do you mean by that? When you say they sold their souls to the devil, the devil's going to come do it. Are you saying that he's going to disappoint them in some horrible way? What do you, just tell me what you're saying.
Well, you know, when it's time to pay up and collect, he's not going to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
And you're going to get some things that they didn't see coming.
Yeah, wait till they, whether they abolish Obamacare and people get sick and they have no doctor. Yeah. Go ahead. I say, wait till they abolish the Affordable Care Act and people with pre-existing conditions can't get health care and they die. And people die.
Here's the scarier thing.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to be like this child that if he doesn't get something he wants, he knows that he can go back to his constituents. And whoever doesn't agree with him, there's going to be that threat that I'll make sure you get voted out. That is the scariest thing, because this nightmare isn't over. And finally, what I want to say is it's going to happen the day that Putin steps on our lawn, on our White House lawn. That is the day.
You know, he doesn't need to invade America to take it over. Vladimir Putin is very good at influencing elections all across the globe, although this is by far his most successful venture, but they don't have to invade. If Donald Trump is working to help him, I mean, so real quick, and I don't want to get into the whole thing on Syria right now, but there's a city in Syria called Aleppo. You probably know all about it. There's 250,000 men, women, and children there that Putin wants to murder because they're fighting against Assad, the dictator that gives Russia access to their ports and so forth. So he wants to kill all these people. Now, Hillary Clinton was working to stop it. Donald Trump said, go ahead, kill them all. We don't have to care about genocide. Holocaust are none of our business. Murder them all. Go for it. And
exactly.
Which makes Vladimir Putin very, very happy. And then he can march into Ukraine. You know, Trump said he won't necessarily defend our NATO allies. Ronald Reagan, by the way, because Republicans used to care about this, is, you know, doing flip-flops in his grave. But no, Putin doesn't have to invade the United States. He has a useful idiot, as Lenin used to say. You know, I'll tell you what's very interesting is that the guy that Donald Trump brings in, the one general he brings in all the time, is actively, you know, he's been on Russia Today and been actively promoting Putin's agenda. And, you know, I hope the press continues to call him out. Now, Donald Trump doesn't believe in a free press. He's talked about ways to punish the press. But all we can do is be a watchdog.
At the same time, though, the press is part of the problem.
Yeah,
because
they
thought, you know, that Trump was a joke.
Yep.
And they treated him as such. They gave him all this airtime.
That's true.
All this airtime.
That's
true.
Billions.
And I'm not saying all of them.
Right. No. But you're right. You're absolutely right. He was treated as a joke.
Some were cowards. They had stuff that they could have spoken about when it came to Trump. You know, aside from all the other stuff that we already know.
Yep.
They had things that they could have pressed upon.
Well, they could, you know, I don't know why they didn't focus on Trump University. I mean, here charging people $30,000 a year to watch a YouTube video. And here the judge that he said could not be fair because this Indiana-born judge was of Mexican heritage, and so he couldn't be fair to Donald Trump. This judge was too fair. He uses intimidation. Actually, Putin does this too. And now this judge bent over backwards to be fair because Donald Trump said in a racist way he won't be fair, and he didn't have the trial until after the election. So the trial is going to be in December. But had they had the trial before then, I mean, here's the thing. Hillary's emails have to be done right away, even though there weren't any Hillary's emails. And Comey had to do it right away, 11 days. But a whole trial on how the presidential candidate committed fraud and not just, you know, had a private email, which is no big deal, predecessors did. This trial for fraud would have absolutely, can you imagine the cameras? America would have watched it. They would have seen that this is a man who takes advantage of people. And this judge, trying to be fair, said, I'm going to wait until after the election. Well, you know, why is it that when Hillary's done nothing, that gets before the American public for 7 days every day? And when Donald Trump has done something, it's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and after the election. I mean, the media absolutely put their thumb on the scale, heavily on the thumb for Donald Trump. No question about it. The vast majority of them did.
Yeah, and
judges, too.
I'm sticking by it. It's time that changes are made the media as well.
Well, that's the difference. See, we Democrats try to be fair, and we say, okay, wait till after the election. But while we're trying to be fair, they are making up vicious, awful, completely BS lies, like that, you know, Barack Obama's born in Kenya, or some of the awful things they said about Hillary. They just make up these lies, and it's really hard for people to know what's true and what's a lie. And we're trying to be fair. Look at the fact that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were such good losers and saying, you know, we're gonna withdraw and we're gonna give you a chance, we're gonna help you in any way we can. While, right, you know, what the Trumpists are all sore winners. People like Corey Lewandowski, and you know, they're saying if we lose, it's a rigged system and we're gonna revolt. But if you lose, be good losers. You know, we're not only Americans, too, but we're the majority of this country.
You know, life is not fair.
No, I know.
It's about time that we start realizing.
It's about time that we Democrats start fighting back.
Sometimes play the game.
Well, you know, we got to start fighting back. We have to tell the truth with as much passion as they spread lies. We have to do it. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I got to take more calls. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm going to try to get as many calls as I can in the 3 minutes I have left. Let's see. Let's go to Mike in Dayton, Ohio on line three. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mark. Can you hear me? Hello?
Can't hear Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What a great day. Donald Trump has won. The biggest issue is immigration, and the Democrats have been ruining this country forever by the mass importation from the third world.
By the mass importation from the third world. Sir, where are your ancestors from?
You think all immigrants are the same?
I'm just asking, where are your ancestors from? England? France, I don't know. Germany?
Poland?
Okay, you know, Polish people. We used to have laws that discriminated against Polish immigrants. They weren't considered as good as English or German immigrants. How do you feel about those laws?
Well,
against those laws,
Europeans are far different than Muslims, sir. You're actually going to compare
European? Well, do you realize there are European Muslims? In fact, Turkey actually isn't part of Europe. But okay, so are you saying that is it a race thing? How do you feel about Mexicans?
Yeah.
Are they okay?
Not all races are the same. 73% of Mexicans are on welfare. Can we afford this?
73%? Really? I would say 73% of your family's on welfare. Am I right? No? I just made up my statistic.
You don't even know that 70%.
Yeah. Where did you get your statistic from? The KKK? What's your source?
Center for Immigration Studies.
Okay, so a racist white supremacist site? Why don't you use, I don't know, government sources?
Sir, that's the Center for Immigration Studies.
I know. Why don't you use a government source rather than a right-wing website? That's my question.
Okay, how about Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is a government agency, says that 91% of Muslim refugees in America are on welfare, genius.
Well, you know, how do they get welfare?
Because they apply for it once they get here.
Because they apply for it. Did you know that you have to be an American citizen to get welfare?
Also,
I guess you didn't know that.
Think,
I'm afraid we're out of time, Mike. But I'll tell you something. If you ever want to join reality, I would suggest that you, I don't know, look at government statistics and neutral sources, and maybe some university sources rather than some of the alt-right websites you read. I'm afraid that's probably not going to happen, folks. This is what we're going to have to deal with for a long time to come. Stay true to yourself. This is Mark Levine, signing off.